right, good to see you this morning, and let's take our Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5. We go back to two verses that we used last week as we go into part two, the stream of the Spirit. Then in this series, we're talking about living beyond our capacity. That is, in our own strength, we'll not be able to live the kind of life God wants us to live. So we have to have the Spirit controlled, our Holy Spirit filled and controlled life in our lives. So we covered four of those last week, and we'll look at the last five today as we talk about the stream of the Spirit. But let's read these two verses very quickly as we are reminded of the fruit. And notice, remember, it's not fruits, but it is the fruit. In other words, it indicates we should have all of these at one time in our life if we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering." I'm beginning to feel convicted. How about you already? Just those four. "Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." God is for all of those because they are the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a man in Tokyo, and he got arrested after a number of years because he had a grudge against someone. He was denied entrance to a college graduate school, and he didn't like it. There was one professor that was responsible, really, for denying his getting in and had a lot to do with it, and he knew that. So that had happened 14 years before. So for 14 years, he would call that professor. He would call from 8 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning. 8 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock. 8 o'clock in the evening to 2 o'clock in the morning. And over 14 years, there were 50,000 times he called that professor, that man, because he was angry, he was mad, he wanted to get even with him for what he's done. We've seen a lot of that in our news lately, where somebody trying to get even with journalists kills a lot of people. And that is what we would call a little bit abnormal, but we might call that the natural result or action that somebody would take. You hurt me, you disappointed me, I'm going to get even with you. And the Baptist sticker says, I don't get mad, I just get even. And a lot of times that's the natural thing that we would do, especially if we're not saved, and even as a Christian, if we're not controlled by the Holy Spirit. So those last traits that we talked about in the last lesson were love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Today we'll look at these five. Number one, the Holy Spirit produces gentleness. The Holy Spirit produces gentleness. Most of us probably, when we think of gentleness, might think of a mother. And a mother and her tenderness and gentleness, her compassion, her care, her encouragement. It seemed like when I was a little boy that my mother had more time than my daddy did. He was so busy. He was a farmer and working and very, very busy. And I would spend a little time with him, but not like mother. But mother was always the person that seemed to encourage and have sympathy and that type thing. Somebody that was long-suffering and patient with me and very gentle. And that would be typical of a mother, sympathetic, compassionate, encouraging. And you would certainly, I think, relate to that as a mother. Webster said that gentleness is being generous and kind. Being generous and kind. The question is this to us today. Do people, when they look at you and me and watch our lives, would they say about you, would they say about me today that we are gentle? In other words, we yield to the Holy Spirit to guide us, and therefore, as a result of that, we are people that are gentle with one another, gentle in our relationships. 1 Thessalonians 2:7 says this, but we were gentle among you, Paul said, even as a person cherishes her children, or a nurse rather, cherisheth her children. We're gentle among you. Paul was a strong preacher, wasn't he? And he was a straight preacher. He never failed to tell the truth when he preached, and yet he was very compassionate as a servant of the Lord, and he would always present himself not as the great mighty apostle Paul, but as a servant of the Lord. And he was a very straight preacher, but he was also gentle. And there are about three or four ways I want to mention to us that we can display this gentleness in our lives today. Number one would be sensitivity that goes along with gentleness, being sensitive, seeing things from the feelings of other people. And I know sometimes that's hard to enter into it, but we are to force ourselves, to discipline ourselves, to look at things as other people are going through them, to sort of put ourselves in their shoes, so to speak, and be sensitive to what's happening, understanding what they're going through. Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Look at other people, look at what they're going through, and try to be sensitive to that. A second word would be the word sympathy. We need to have sympathy. In other words, feeling what others feel. A better word might be empathy, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've been there, you can empathize with people. Otherwise, you're sympathizing with them, but at least that's a good thing to do. Feeling what others are feeling and trying to understand that, acknowledging those feelings. Paul said in Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be happy with them when they're happy and weep when they weep. A lot of times we can weep with them, but if they inherit $100,000, we don't rejoice. We wish we'd have gotten the money ourselves. But we ought to either way, no matter what, rejoice when they're rejoicing and weep when they're weeping. Put ourselves in that place and be sympathetic to them. Another thing that goes along with gentleness, and they tie in together, is a gentle straightforwardness with people. Straightforwardness, being honest with people. And that would mean we would speak the truth to someone in love. And there have been times that in counseling, I've counseled couples or individuals, and I've had to tell them the truth about the whole problem, as I would observe it after they'd told me what was going on, but I would try to do it in love. And we see a lot of times some of the things that are in other people's lives, but we are to be gentle as we're talking to them. Don't be mean and harsh and cruel with them, but be gentle with them, and you might be able to tell them in that gentleness something that they need to see, speaking truth in love. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes if we just comply with everything that our friends want us to comply with and we're never honest with them, we may not be doing them a favor. We don't have to nitpick and look for problems, but if we see something, he says that faithful are the wounds of a friend. It may not be what you want to hear, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So would you rather have a friend that's honest with you and compassionate and love, or an enemy that's deceitful? I think a friend who is straightforward, but they do it in gentleness. And then spontaneity is a fourth thing, and that is thoughtful in action. Thinking about it, sympathizing, entering into it, being sensitive, and maybe straightforward, but being thoughtful in our action, trying to express that gentleness to them, looking for ways to show that gentleness and to show that you care about those people. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. In other words, to be like that. So sensitivity, sympathy, straightforwardness, and spontaneity. And then we're called to be gentle. Now, whenever you're dealing with people or if something goes wrong in your life, are you gentle with them or are you grumpy with them? Are you mean-spirited just because it didn't go right for you that day? So often that's the way it is sometimes. But the Holy Spirit would not cause us to present ourselves as grumpy and out of sorts, but gentle. And that's a challenge, isn't it, to our lives. But we can do it through the Holy Spirit of God. Secondly, the Holy Spirit produces goodness, he tells us. And that challenges us in all of our relationships. But as we have goodness, that helps in those relationships. In Ephesians 5, 8 through 10, the scripture says, "For we are sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And so he mentions here that it is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. But goodness is in there. So Spirit-filled Christians want to do good. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit want to do what is right. And what happens when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you do what is right, and people are looking on the outside to see how you act and how you do that, and that is evidence to them that you are a real good Christian and that you really mean business and you love the Lord. And so we're to do good to all that are men in the faith and women in the faith, especially unto them who are the household of faith, Galatians 6:10. The early church leaders and early church believers, I should say, faced a lot of criticism. They faced a lot of challenges, a lot of slander. But what did they do? They didn't, as is recorded in the Bible, they didn't complain. They didn't quit. But what they did was they continued in good works. 1 Peter 2:12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. How do they do that? By your good works, which they behold. And the Holy Spirit allows us to produce that goodness, or he produces that goodness in us, and they see that, and that is evident goodness that we are bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, even though we're mistreated. And you could take that even further in a lot of different areas of our life. But there is gentleness, and then there is goodness that we should have in our lives, and that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, to have that goodness in our lives. And then the third thing that we see is the Holy Spirit produces faith. Boy, that's so important to understand that. The Holy Spirit produces faith. Faith and faithfulness go together. If you have faith, you're probably going to be faithful in the task that God gives us. But they are really, I believe, as I observe and others observe, that they are in short supply today, both faith and faithfulness. And even in our local churches, they're that way. David Livingstone, who was a pioneer missionary to Africa, David Livingstone, it is said, walked 29,000 miles. Yes, 29,000 miles all total as he went into the interior of Africa. One missionary society wrote him and said, "Have you found a good road to where you are? If so, we want to know how to send other men to join you." Livingstone thought about that and I suppose prayed about it. And he answered this way, "If you have men who will come only if they know there's a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all." And certainly you got to put your mindset where he was, having walked all those miles, gone into the interior of Africa doing what he did. He didn't want some pansies there that he made a road for. He wanted somebody to help him get the job done and people who would have faith and be faithful in doing that. And so in our lives, a lot of times we have circumstances we don't like, but we give up too soon. And as I said, commitment is rare sometimes to a cause or to a situation, and perseverance, hanging on to it, almost doesn't exist sometimes. But it's natural, it is always natural for us to take the path of least resistance, isn't it? You go to some of these restaurants and you look where people have cut across, and they made a path. Reminds you of the old outhouse paths. You know, the path of least resistance, going out in that direction. And so we are prone to do that, to take the path of least resistance. And we like immediate gratification. We want it now. We want it easy. That's just the human nature. But if we take the right path and we go in faith, then we will not retreat, and faithfulness will be part of it. I have started out. I've done it by faith. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on serving God, doing what God's called me to do because of that. And there's no place for a retreat. I remember when we were raising funds for these buildings to remodel them, and we put all new air conditioning units on and so on and so forth, energy efficient and new roofs, and the whole project's time, it was all said and done, about $1.6 million. That's a lot of bucks for me and for our church. But we knew that there were a lot of things that needed to be done, and there were some other needs in the youth department upstairs and all of that. But that was a step of faith. And there were times I wanted to can the project, I promise you, just quit and say, well, let's just paint, get some paint and paint it and forget about it. But you go into it by faith, you continue by faith, you're faithful to get it done, and I think we've all enjoyed the results of what God did, and thank the Lord we were able to pay it off early. And that was faith, faithfulness on the part of the people and all of us working together, and God honored that, and we don't quit. You start out. It's so easy to quit, but we need to have that faith. William Carey, who was a father of what we would call, he's usually called the father of modern missions, and William Carey had some rough times, believe me. But at the end, after all those years, after the end, coming down to the end of his life, he had had the Bible translated into 40 languages, started a college, a Christian college, and also had missionaries coming into, and it opened up in, for missionaries in India. But he didn't quit. He could have quit many times, and probably most of us would have quit, but he did not quit. And thank God for what happened as a result of that. Number four, the Holy Spirit produces meekness. Meekness. Thank God for that trait that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the greatest person we go to find out what he thought about meekness, and one who illustrated it, obviously would be Jesus Christ, wouldn't it? What did he have to say about meekness? What did Jesus say about it? Well, Matthew 5:5, blessed or happy, and blessed of the Lord are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is a trait that God honors. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, Jesus said. Well, what are we going to learn? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He said, be like me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. And if we will learn meekness, you see, we're his sheep after all. Sheep are some of the most helpless, dumb animals in the world. I'm not saying you're dumb sheep, but I'm just saying the Lord calls us sheep. We are the sheep, and he's our shepherd. But here's the thing. When you think about that, we think about meekness. You don't name sports team the Mighty Sheep. Nobody does that. They call them cowboys, Indians, bears, whatever, but not the Mighty Sheep. And I imagine they'd be laughed out of the stadium if they did. But we are people that are the sheep of God's pasture, and we ought to be meek. It implies some meekness that we should have. And so when we look at secular culture, that is not the normal way that secularists carry out their lives. They are very assertive, very self-centered, self-promotion, self-gratification. I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to get to the top of the ladder. Doesn't matter who I have to walk over to get there. Magazines that are out there that people that are looking to self, they might be the magazine called Self. It might be one called Glamour. It might be one called Vanity Fair. I'm not criticizing you ladies if you happen to read those, but I'm telling you, their titles are just symbolic of what people want in life today. That's what they're saying. My rights, my image, I want my thing. But the Holy Spirit streams something entirely different. The Holy Spirit streams that we should be meek. That's why if somebody is going for that parking place out here in the parking lot, just as you get there, you ought to turn and let them have it. Amen? Baptists wouldn't fuss over a parking spot, would they? 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In meekness. Titus 3:2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Don't fight, don't be brawlers. James 3:13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Question. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with what? Meekness and wisdom. God expects us to be meek. And by the way, meekness is not weakness. So many people think meekness is weakness. It is not weakness. And it is actually described as strength under control. That's what it is. Jesus was God in the flesh, but he was meek and lowly. Strength, all power under control. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so how are we going to do it? It has to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit produces temperance. And all of these, I tell you, these are good tests every week. After I taught this lesson last week, I think I only failed two of them last week. But at any rate, you work on it, you keep working on it, you grow in the Lord, and you pray and stay in the Scriptures, and it'll all improve. But the Holy Spirit produces temperance. We have a lot of problems that come in our life and a lot of challenges that we have. And the only way we can get through those things would be some self-control, or a better way of saying it is spirit control. There are things that we have to deal with. Billy Sunday, one time a woman came to Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, and she was a person that would just fly off the handle right away, have those angry outbursts. And she rationalized it this way. She said to Billy Sunday, there's nothing wrong with losing my temper. I blow up and then it's all over. You don't know anybody that's ever done that, do you? And it's all over. Billy Sunday said, well, so does a shotgun. And look at the damage it leaves behind. And that's true. It blows up and it's all over, but look at the damage it leaves behind. And that's the way it is. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 9:23-24, gave us some insight on this. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they that run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? All of them don't get the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And here's what he's doing. He's given the illustration of the Olympic-type games, the Greek games. And if you're going to win, you've got to be disciplined. That's what he's saying. If you're going to win these challenges, these battles that we deal with in life, whatever they may be, then we have to be disciplined. And there has to be temperance, discipline through the Holy Spirit. And so let me mention very quickly, we only have about 5 minutes, but three areas of temperance, and one would be discipline in our physical life. You knew I would get to that one, didn't you? Discipline in our physical life. And we need to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit so that we can say no to things that would harm us mentally, harm us physically, or interfere with our well-being and the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to order our priorities in those things. And it may mean something we're dealing with financial. It may be that we need wisdom for that or any other restraints that we have in our life. But we don't go to alcohol, tobacco, or drugs, legalized or otherwise, to be able to be disciplined, to have temperance. We have that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So discipline in our physical life, and then secondly, discipline in our speech. Oh boy, that's a tough one. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What a test. But that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace to its hearers. Not tear them down, but minister grace. Spirit-controlled people do not go around telling lies on other people. They do not spend their time slandering other people, insulting other people, or with verbal injury to other people. Those kind of people are not spirit-controlled people. And it's a challenge we all have to deal with. Number three, a disciplined mind through the power of the Holy Spirit. Reason some guys get messed up sexually and with pornography and junk like that, and they may not face it and admit it like they ought to. They think, well, I can justify it. It has to do with a disciplined mind and the discipline of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imagination, reaching up and grabbing them and throwing them down, imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God or the truth of God. So it may be thoughts, it may be fantasies, and all of those things against truth. So the conclusion, what do we think about all of this and the fruit of the Spirit? The nine different things that if we are controlled not by the natural old man, but we reckon ourselves to be dead to the power of sin, we reckon it to be that way, what are those things? Those nine things will be in our lives. And so we are supposed to bear the fruit of the Spirit. It's not an option that God gives and say, well, if you want to do that, you do it. But we are really commanded by God to be filled with the Spirit. Be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk on wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled, or be ye being filled is the way it reads in the original, with the Holy Spirit. We have to sometimes confess we fail and ask God to fill us, but that should be a way of life for us with these nine virtuous qualities as we abide in the Holy Spirit. These things come, and that's what we have to do. Abide through the Word and prayer, abide in the Holy Spirit. And then evidences show in our life to others that we have a right relationship. Not only are we saved, but we're Spirit-controlled, Spirit-filled, and we have all of these characteristics: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith. They're all in our life. It's just a matter of fact that we are living that way for the glory of God. Now, it's impossible to do without the Holy Spirit, which means, number one, you must be born again. And then, number two, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to control you. That's why we need to walk in the Spirit. And then we can live outside of ourselves, outside of what we can do within our own self-will and self-discipline and turning over a new leaf. We do it through the presence of God in us, the power of the Holy Spirit, who enables us to always be able to do these things if we will lean on Him. And so the Holy Spirit, as we get saved, wants to transform us and make us like Jesus Christ. Make us in the image of Christ. That's what He says in Romans 8, 28 and 29. Everything works together for good to those that love the Lord, those that are called according to His purpose. Why? He wants to conform us to what? The image of the world, to other Baptists, to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, to make us like Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit living in you, we are without excuse. Living in me, we're without excuse to live that kind of life. And we can say, well, I was born that way and I have that temperament and I can't do anything about it. All of that is a bunch of lies. We can be filled with the Spirit of God and overcome those things. And some people, believe it or not, have been saved for years and hadn't even discovered or haven't complied with the truth of living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for the Word of God that is perfect and teaches us the truth, the whole truth, all of it, and shows us how we are to live, and that we can do it and we're expected to do it, and to have all of these nine things in our lives at one time because we depend on the Holy Spirit and we abide in Thee. Help us to be better Christians that others may see Jesus in us and want to be saved, want to come to the Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.